little ones, the Sleep Manual podcast. Welcome back to the Sleep Manual, a weekly podcast, a total baby and toddler sleep manual by us here at Little Ones. I'm Nikki and I'm here with my Little Ones co-founder, Amanda.
Hi.
In case you don't know, Little Ones is dedicated to helping families sleep better. So far, we've helped over 300,000 families worldwide, and we'd love to help you too. Visit our website, www.littleones.co, or find us on the App Store. Today, we are diving deep into the world of toddler sleep.
Yes, that's right. And we'll look at everything that you ever wanted to know about your little one's sleep between the age of 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm. So today we're going to be looking at your toddler's naps. We're going to, which is a pretty massive topic because it changes fairly dramatically across those couple of years. We're going to look at their night sleep, also a huge topic. And then what happens if your little one is giving you bedtime battles? And that's something actually that we get asked about so much in this age range because, toddlers are pretty feisty, independent little things.
Yeah, they are. So I guess, should we first of all look at why naps are important and like everything to do with naps? So I guess with toddlers, naps are just so important because they are using so much energy, they're growing, they're learning so much, and their little brains do just need a massive rest. Everything is just a meltdown if they don't have their sleep.
Sure is. Same.
Yep, that's true. So getting a toddler to nap is very important, and getting them to just sleep well in general, to help all of their development and everything that goes along with it.
And of course, if you have a toddler and also a younger baby or a newborn baby, like we both did, Amanda, you need your toddler to be napping because you need a bit of a break. You need that time to be tending to your younger baby perhaps. But actually, one of the things that we love the most and our customers love the most about our sleep programs, of course, is that we have that huge big nap across the middle of the day for toddlers and babies. So if you have a 2-year-old and a newborn, they're actually napping for 2 hours across the middle of the day at the same time. How amazing was that when our kids were little?
It was really good. It was a time that I got all the dishes done, I folded all the washing, and then without a doubt I would get maybe 5 minutes to sit down by myself, and then one of them would wake up. But it is super important to give yourself a bit of a rest in between in the middle of the day as well. So
do you know what I used to do during that nap when everyone was sleeping?
Watch Love Island.
Watch trashy TV. Yeah. no, but I did watch this. This is the first time I started watching one episode of that Naked and Afraid program, which was like, it's like Survivor in the wilderness, but they're naked. These are the amazing things you can discover when your kids are all napping. Things that I never need to see ever again.
That's right.
But
oh my gosh.
But in any case, whatever you're watching, it is a nice chance to have a break.
Even just a cup of tea and a sit down, or, you know, a cup of coffee and just some mental time space. And space to actually rest yourself.
So if we're talking about, you know, naps, and we're talking about a 1-year-old, because of course we're covering 1-year-olds right through to 3-year-olds in this toddler discussion. So at sort of the age of one, bang on one, your little one is probably still having 2 naps a day.
Yeah.
So if you're using our programs, that's going to be a pretty short morning nap and then that nice long lunchtime sleep. However, around about 15 months, somewhere around there, they're going to start transitioning down to just that one decent nap a day. And the way that they do that, we've actually got an entire podcast about nap transition. So if you're interested in that, make sure you have in that specific transition, make sure you have a listen to that podcast. But the way that they do that essentially is you whittle away that morning nap until it's gone, and they're left with that nice sort of 2-hour long sleep around lunchtime or just after lunchtime. And then they retain that nap basically until they're ready to start dropping their naps altogether. So that nap stays there for a good sort of 18 months. So it's super important that your little one is definitely still napping right up until sort of as close as you can get to 3 years old.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no reason a child who's just turned two or 18 months or not quite two shouldn't be napping in the day. I pity you because you've probably got a very cranky child on your hands.
Yeah. And even over 3 years old, you know, between 3 and 4, they might still be having the occasional nap or one napper if you've had a late night the night before or if they're sick or whatever. Gosh, I even get my nearly 8-year-old to have a nap if she's staying home from school for because she's sick. She has to have a nap in the middle of the day. So I think that
if...
Sorry, you go.
If Kenzie has a nap like that,
yeah,
will she still go to sleep at night?
Yeah, she's if she's sick, and she just has like a 45-minute. It will often be, but yeah, usually around 45 minutes to an hour nap. She'll go to sleep a little bit later, but still, 7:30.
I don't think I could get my kids, even Charlie, to sleep in the day now for love nor money. No. I don't think. Even if they're sick.
She often... So that's actually... She might not go to sleep, but I make her have a quiet time if she's sick. Mm. But sometimes she'll actually ask and she'll say, I'll have a nap today. So, and I think that's just because, you know, her body knows when she needs to sleep. She's so used to having sleeps during the day from a baby, and it's instilled in her. She knows that she is tired and grumpy, and she knows that she'll feel better. I even remember having naps as a kid, you know, and my mum telling me, oh, you'll feel better when you wake up. And I always disagreed with her before the nap, and then after the nap, of course, you do, you feel better. So Kenzie is
so then still... that actually sort of brings us to the to our next little topic, really, which is when are we looking at, so assume our little ones are having these amazing beautiful naps and they're nearing toward 3 years old, let's talk about that nap transition, shall we, Amanda, of dropping naps all together.
Yeah, so dropping them all together is a difficult time. It's probably the longest, well, it is the longest transition of out of naps at any time. And you might have to, as I said before, have a nap every second day or have a nap every, when, say, your child goes to daycare but not napping at daycare but has a nap at home, you know, in the weekends or something. It's the dropping it. In the transition, as Nikki said, we've got a whole podcast on that, so that's a long time. But the signs to look out for are mucking around at the time of the nap, not going to sleep, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty obvious one. The less obvious ones are mucking around at bedtime, at nighttime. So they're mucking around, they're getting up, they're asking for water, they're using delay tactics, they are... doing whatever they can because they're just not tired. Another one that's not so obvious is if they start waking more in the nighttime, if they're waking at 3 o'clock and doing the same thing, delay tactics, you know, asking for food or saying they're hungry or wanting water or wanting milk. And another sign would be that they're waking really early in the morning. Maybe they've started waking at 5 o'clock in the morning because they just don't need that much sleep anymore, and they have had to recalibrate their sleep somewhere because they're still going to sleep in the for their nap. And so they've cut off a bit of their morning sleep, which I don't know, in my house is never a good time to wake me up. So
no. The interesting thing that we hear quite a lot is that, you know, when we're talking about these signs that your little one's ready to drop that nap and they might not be settling well for the nap anymore, and often people will say, oh, my child's definitely not ready to drop the nap because they still go to sleep perfect for the nap. Yep. They would easily sleep for 2 hours, 3 hours. And then they're like, but I just don't know why they're not going to bed at night till 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And we're like, that's why. And this is what we see is a lot of the time, they'll still go to sleep mm-hmm. for the nap because they're used to it. Their body's used to it. And they're probably a very active toddler and or preschooler. But yeah, the biggie is when it starts to really interfere with their nighttime sleep.
Yeah.
Because, and it sucks. It sucks because you've got to get rid of the nap. And no one wants to lose that nap.
No parent who, especially no. parents at home, they, with their toddler, they then have to deal with a high energy toddler all day, and it's hard, especially if you've got another baby.
I remember when I had Charlie, you know, Michaela was 4.5 and Max was just about 3, and he was right on the edge of losing that nap. And then I had this newborn baby, so quite soon afterwards he had dropped that nap altogether. And then I had this newborn with this little baby who was sleeping fine, but then I had these two other preschoolers running riot that you just don't get a chance to do anything.
No, so I guess that's where you can,
and that is really hard,
you can definitely introduce quiet time.
Yes,
and I think that's super important.
So let's talk about what you do when the nap stops.
Yeah, so I
that's
think
the first thing you do.
Quiet time is key. You sit down, read a book, or even put the toddler still into their bedroom and let them, you know, flick through books or do quiet play or quiet time or listen to lullabies or audiobooks or something. Mm. Put that mm-hmm. on in their bedroom so that you can have a little bit of a rest. It's what they do at daycares all around the world, mm-hmm. right up to sort of 4 years old. The three-year-olds still have to have that quiet time. And that's really important too for them to actually give them some downtime and develop. And then
I wouldn't recommend putting them in front of the TV.
No.
Or on a screen during that downtime, because actually, even though screen time of any kind means that your little one is usually sitting still and is being relatively quiet, they're being very
stimulated,
mentally stimulated, and it's not restful for their brain. So doing, yes, something quiet, like Amanda suggests, even Lego, like building Lego or doing a puzzle or something that's sort of mindful or quiet or some colouring. It's not too stimulating, but they're not using a lot of energy. Anything that's low energy.
Yeah.
And low mental energy is what you're looking for. And to be honest, once the naps stop, you are probably, like Amanda said, you're going to maybe need the nap sometimes.
Yeah.
So it might be that once a week they still need a nap or, you know, if they're
or
sick.
They need
so
to have...
it's not a hard and fast rule that once the nap is gone, it's gone forever. Yeah.
And then on those days where they don't have the nap, they need to have an earlier bedtime.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise you could end up in this nasty cycle of causing overtiredness, where once you cause overtiredness by pushing the bedtime out to the usual 7 o'clock or whatever, even though they haven't had a nap, they then could start waking early. Then the next day you need to have a nap, you know, so it causes this vicious cycle of overtiredness and then undertiredness. And then, so yeah, definitely an early bedtime. And some days I even used to force a nap when she needed to have a nap, but probably wasn't tired enough to go to sleep in her bed. I would go for a drive or put her in her pram or just to sort of force a short nap to be able to get us through so that I definitely wasn't causing overtiredness later in the day, because that's not
But
nice.
that also can be a risk once you do lose the nap, is if you're going anywhere in the car in yes. the afternoon. Yeah, for longer than sort of 10-minute car ride, your toddler probably is going to try and fall asleep in the car, and then, you know, your whole evening's out the window.
But it also can work to your advantage sometimes too, you know, like if you've got a dinner out or something, then you can force that nap by going for a drive, as Nikki said, going for a drive, and then that means that your toddler doesn't need as much sleep that night. So you know what, you can stay out till 8 o'clock or, you know, a little bit later so that you can get some social events in. So it is quite a good time.
So if we're talking about So we've talked quite a lot about sort of how we're dropping that nap and what happens then. If we then look at the younger toddlers, the sort of 1 and 2 year olds who are still having that nap, you know, we're in theory by this age, they're pretty good at going to sleep. There are reasons why your little one might refuse to go to sleep and have a nap at that age altogether. But like we've said, they really do still need to be napping. So it's kind of not an excuse to say, oh, they don't want to sleep today. Like, you have to really do everything you can to get them to sleep. So let's talk about some things that you can do to actually get your toddler, to encourage them to have that nap that they still definitely need. And the first thing I would say is, you know, bring back some of these tools that you might have used in a very young baby. Definitely still use a dark room. Mm-hmm. Your toddler has the biggest case of FOMO they're probably ever going to have in their life. So if they think that there's still something fun going on in the rest of the house while they're forced to go and have a nap, of course they're not going to want a nap. So having a nice dark room is really going to help them switch off. It's going to emphasize that it's sleep time. It's going to encourage some sleep hormones to start kicking in. And alongside that, I would also recommend reintroducing or continuing to use white noise. I mean, you can use that at any age. It's the easiest, oldest trick in the book. It will help them switch off. Again, just might mask the sounds of any older children playing in the house or anything like that as well. Just doing anything you can to create this calming, peaceful sleep environment for your toddler. What else would we
put? I think also just having a really good routine so that your child knows that how their body feels means that next is to have a nap. So being in that good routine, just like daycares and you know, kindergartens do, by having lunch and then having quiet time and then moving into sort of quiet time or a nap. So making sure that you sort of do the same thing every day. Children of all ages thrive on routine. They do it at schools, daycares, everything. So they know what to expect. You're not doing something that they're not going to expect, and that's so that they'll kick up a fuss about it. Naps are just the same. So as Nikki, having white noise, dark room, also making sure that they've got their sleep toy or whatever it is, to sort of introduce
a positive sleep association.
Yeah, to have that positive sleep association.
So, yeah, that's all very well and good. They're napping really well at home, we hope. A lot of children this age start going to or are going to some kind of preschool or daycare, like you sort of just mentioned before, Amanda. And obviously, we're still wanting their nap routine to be maintained there, because otherwise they're having a busy day there and they're coming home and being super cranky.
Or you're bringing them quite home and they're falling asleep in the car on the way home.
That's right.
5 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
So we often do get asked, you know, or my little one's sleeping really well at home, but they're not napping that well at daycare. So what are some things that we could do to just help them a little bit more in that different sleep environment?
I think daycares, they have it pretty sussed in the general, but I think it's really just asking them to stick to the sort of usual nap times, which they will be at this age. They all children at this age are sort of having that midday sleep at this point. And I guess sometimes what will end up happening is children or toddlers, once they actually do go to sleep, is they'll start to sleep for ages, because they're almost sort of treated as their nighttime. So if that's happening, I seem to find that it happens more often in boys, because I think they're just super energetic in the mornings, and then they will go to sleep and then they'll try and sleep for 2-3 hours at 3 years old. And that's all a bit counterintuitive of what we're then trying to get them to go to bed at nighttime. So you want to ask the daycare, if you can, to actually wake them up after however long you need, you know, to then make sure that your bedtime isn't a write-off, because there's no point in them sleeping 3 hours in the day. I'm sure the daycare would absolutely love that. But then if you're struggling with them at night time at 9 o'clock at night with this hyperactive toddler, that's not going to work. So asking your daycares to stick to the nap times and lengths, making sure that they've got their sleep associations at daycare, like they've got their cuddlies or their whatever, their sleep toy. Most daycares will already have white noise to sort of block out crying of in other children. They don't necessarily have a dark room, which is one thing.
You'd think they'd want to do everything they can to get these kids to sleep.
I remember going into my daughter's daycare and it was not bright, but it certainly wasn't dark, and there were all these little stretches of their little beds for the toddlers. Man, it was so cute though. They're all in these stretches lined up, and they sleep well, because that's the other thing, because the others are there sleeping, they're all doing the same thing, and it's their routine. So what you might find though is that your child might sleep at daycare but then might not sleep at home when they are transitioning, or the opposite, they're more comfortable at sleeping at home but not necessarily at daycare. But yeah, it's a tricky transition.
I mean, you can only do the best you can.
So I guess moving on to, we've talked about naps and now moving on to night sleep,
The big guy.
Toddlers are very capable of sleeping for 12 hours here, from 7 at night till 7 in the morning.
Without needing
anything.
Milk or feed. Without needing anything.
Anything.
That's right.
They don't need food. They don't need water. They don't need milk or cuddles or the night, or they might need a nightlight, actually. That is one thing.
Yeah.
They might need.
And, you know, we're not saying they don't need cuddles, like as if they have a bad dream, you're not allowed to cuddle them.
Yeah.
They, if they're in a good sleep routine,
they can
easily sleep all night. I mean, to be honest, at this age, any night wakes will be caused from the kind of things we've been discussing around their naps, like they haven't napped that day and they should have, or they've napped too much and they needed to start reducing those nap hours or drop the nap altogether. So whatever's happening during their day in regards to their naps, or it could be that their nap is too late in the day. So if your little one is napping from, say, 2 till 4, you know, that's way too late in the day, and they're then going to probably have a pretty wakeful night. Because they just wouldn't have had the chance to be awake enough. So have a look at what's going on in their day if your toddler is waking at this age. Otherwise, unfortunately, you're basically left with the fact that it's a habit. So these are habit wakes, they've gotten into the habit of waking, or they're related to sleep associations. So they cannot sleep by themselves or go to sleep by themselves. And, you know, that's something that might have been happening their whole life, it might have been happening since they were a baby. So that means that they're relying on you doing something to put them to sleep, and then they're waking in the night and you're doing something to get them back to sleep. Those are quite big topics on their own, aren't they?
Yep.
So self-settling is very, very, very important. It becomes important around 4 months old, because that's when your baby's sleep is starting to mature, and any sort of methods that you've employed to get your little one to sleep are now starting to become their crutch, their main method of going to sleep. So it starts becoming important that we're teaching our little ones how to go to sleep by themselves, so that we avoid this situation altogether when you have a two-year-old who still needs you to rock them back to sleep every 2 hours overnight.
And I think this is also a trap that we as parents can also fall into if we've had a toddler that had been sleeping really well, but then decide, oh, you know, my toddler is 2 years old now, they can have a big girl bed now or a big boy bed now, and then allowing a toddler who you can't reason with to then have this bed where they can get out of, and they can just get mm-hmm. up and they can walk out the door. And so what we recommend very strongly is do not let mm-hmm. your toddler out of a cot or a crib until they are well over 3 years old. Put in place as many things as you can to stop them climbing out if possible. Put the side down a bit lower. Make it safe if they do climb out, but make sure that they've still got that sort of physical barrier around mm-hmm. them, because otherwise you can't lock the door. You know, you
yeah.
you actually can't. So,
and they're definitely coming out.
They will come out. And the same for when they're transitioning with their nap too. You know, the same thing happens. Mm-hmm. If they're able to get out of their bed, they will. So if they've got slightly a little bit too much energy and you want them to have a nap or sleep and they can get out, they will. So
let's quickly talk about then bedtimes.
Yeah.
Because bedtime is really, really quite a critical thing at this age, well, at any age, but at this age. And we would always say 7 o'clock is the perfect bedtime for your little ones. You know, that's allowing for a nap at around 12:30 in the day if they're still having a nap. That's allowing for a decent night's sleep and aiming for them to wake up somewhere between 6 and 7 in the morning. And if your little one was going to sleep at 7 at night, then sleeping through until somewhere between 6 and 7 is awesome. And that's even 6 o'clock is still an excellent amount of night sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Your little one going to bed at this age much later than 7 is probably going to start affecting your nighttime sleep.
Yeah.
Because they're overtired. And the thing that we see too is toddlers get a second wind in the evening. So we see this a lot in toddlers who have dropped the nap or are dropping the nap. They can get really, really tired in the early evening and you're trying to keep them awake through dinner. And then suddenly they get the second wind and they seem to get sort of almost hyperactive and you think, oh, they're actually not that tired. I'm going to keep them up for a bit longer. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Because they're actually very, very overtired. And that second wind is usually because they've now gone into fight or flight mode as a result of their overtiredness. And that has the potential to really sabotage your night's sleep. So a critical part of your night is getting the right bedtime. And don't be scared of an early bedtime. I think people are scared that if they put their child to bed earlier, that they're definitely going to wake up earlier in the morning. But it actually doesn't work like that. If your child's overtired at bedtime, that's more likely to cause an early morning wake than
if they went going to bed at 6.
To bed to stave off the overtiredness. Yeah, our kids used to go to bed sometimes at 6. Mm. Hey, Amanda, 6, 6:15.
Yeah.
If they were just really needing it. It's way safer to do that than try and keep them up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So what else is going to be causing the, if your little one is still waking at night at this age, what else are some causes?
Well, so big ones are going to be toilet training around this time. Mm-hmm. That can have an adverse effect on night sleep. And you might not even realize it at the time that they might actually be getting wet right through their nappy or diaper and they're actually waking because they're wet. Or they might be actually waking, especially if you've daytime toilet trained your toddler, mm-hmm. they might be actually ready to completely nighttime train as well. So they might actually be waking and not really able to tell you why they're awake, but they actually just want to use the toilet and don't want to go in their nappy or diaper. And toilet training for both number ones and twos can cause an impact on nighttime sleep. Another big
they become more aware of their bladder and how their bladder's working and that they can control it. And you're right. So they're used to now feeling that they have that full bladder. So this is also more of a problem too if your little one is still having quite a lot of milk before bed. So
or during the night.
Quite. Yeah. But if they're having like a full bottle of milk before bed, they're definitely going to need to pee in the night. And if you are day toilet trained, or if they already are day toilet trained, you know, then that actually could be one of the reasons that they're waking, because they're now waking because they need to pee.
Yeah.
So you either got to teach, like, night toilet train them, or
dream wee.
Start reducing the amount of milk they have. Yeah, the amount of milk they have at bedtime.
Or do a dream wee, which is what I did with my oldest for what seems like probably easily a year, because she was just so dead asleep but before that midnight time. So we would take her to the toilet at 10 o'clock at night. She was daytime toilet trained, but she would wake early in the morning, wet right through, if she didn't go to the toilet in the night. So we would take her at that 10 o'clock at night time for a dream wee. She was asleep on the toilet, but she would go. She would go to the toilet, we'd put her back into her bed, and she wouldn't know the difference. She just thought she was asleep the whole time. It was fantastic.
So good.
So good. So that was another way around, actually, sort of getting, if you figured out that your wake of your toddler at early morning is because they're wet right through. So some other reasons that they might be waking in the night is because of some big change or something in their life has changed, such as maybe they've got a new sibling now, maybe they've got a new baby in the house, and there's a big change to their environment.
And I mean, the thing with toddlers is we're not just dealing with like sleep patterns. You're starting to deal with behavior.
Yeah.
And you're starting to deal with the psychology of the thing. So any big change, or starting daycare,
moving house,
yep, any of these big
moving bedrooms, you know, because
they've got to evacuate the cot, yep, for a sibling. Yep.
Now they're a new baby.
I mean, their world is very small. It's limited to the four walls of their house a lot of the time. And anything that happens to shift something in there is going to have an impact on their sleep, because they're just processing it.
Yeah. And even like Nikki said about the psychology of a toddler, they now actually are a lot more aware and will now start becoming scared of things. So that they might be waking at nighttime because they actually need a nightlight, I mentioned earlier. So it's actually a really good time to put a nightlight in. Make sure it is red. Do not use blue. Mm-hmm.
Or green, or white, or yellow.
Especially blue. Blue is actually the strongest possible light that your eyes can have once your eyes are nighttime adapted. So it takes half an hour for your eyes to night adapt. And blue, because then your eyes are using their nighttime
night vision mode.
Your retina is dark adapted. So blue is the one that is seen over all other colors, and it will appear so much brighter. So do not use blue. Red is the opposite, though. Red is the one that is the dimmest when your eyes are dark adapted. So making sure that the nightlight is on its lowest setting and red, mm-hmm, and allow your toddler to sleep with it on all night if they need to. And that should not affect your sleep too much by having the nightlight, and it might actually help your nighttime sleep.
So nighttime's a bit of a beast. There's a lot of things potentially to work through there. If you are having a massive issue with night waking in your toddler, I do recommend that you download our app from the App Store, because you will be able to get the perfect customized schedule for your little one's age, which will tell you exactly when they should be napping and for how long, and all of the methods for getting your little one to sleep overnight if habit or self-settling are the issues there. And of course, you can communicate with our certified sleep consultants as well, who can help you with any problems that you might be having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's move on to the other thing that starts to become a real issue when you have a toddler, and that is bedtime battles.
Yeah, they're so good.
As Amanda was saying, your toddler, are they? Mm-hmm. As Amanda was saying, your toddler is now a very independent person who is starting to understand their place in the world, that they are a separate entity from you, that they have their own opinions, which I'm sure you hear endlessly about, and they can really start to kick off at bedtime. So let's look at what's causing these bedtime issues.
Yeah, so overtired and undertiredness, that's the first one. That's mm-hmm. Either they are having a massive nap during the day and they're just not tired enough to need to go mm-hmm. to sleep. So they're going to argue, they're going to delay, they're going to do whatever they want to because they
just don't want to go to sleep.
They aren't even remotely close to being tired. Mm-hmm. So they've mm-hmm. got the staying power and they will wear you down. So, yeah, or they're overtired, and overtiredness looks similar to being hyperactive sometimes, but yet they are just so overtired, everything is going to be a meltdown, and they just need to go to sleep. So those are the first ones. I already mentioned about keeping in the cot for as long as possible. They will get out of bed if they can, so keep them in that cot or crib for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
With their bedtime routine, making sure that you've got their cuddly, their sleep associations, white noise, night lights on, and have that really good routine of making sure that it's quiet before bed, they've done their teeth, they've had cuddles, they've had a story, and then they're into bed. The same thing, and they should make sure that routine is really good. So,
and linked into that is how important it is to not have them in front of a screen for a couple of hours before bedtime. As we discussed earlier, the screens are, and don't get me wrong, my kids watch TV. My kids play Minecraft, but my kids are older and they don't do it right before bed still.
Yeah.
Because screens are so stimulating and they are predominantly that blue light that Amanda was talking about. And the last thing you want when you're trying to wind your little one down and get them calm for bed is for them to be mentally stimulated in front of that really bright light, which is actually inhibiting the production of melatonin, which is the hormone that they need in order to fall asleep. So just make it a rule in your house that there's no screens on, say, after dinner. And then, you know, you can do some games or some coloring or some puzzles, have some quiet time, some family time. And then, and actually linked into that is no sugar.
Yeah.
No sugar before bed, no sugar in the evening at all.
We recently found out no chocolate. Because
yes, of course,
chocolate has caffeine in it and sugar as well. And I had my 9-year-old come in and wake me up at, I think it was about 10:15, saying she hadn't been to sleep yet. And she'd been in bed since 8 o'clock. And she was like, I haven't been to sleep yet, Mum. It's because she'd had a whole Easter egg just before bed. So that
Easter's got a lot to answer
for. So no sugar, no chocolate. It has a massive effect.
Do you know what? Even if I know that if I have chocolate, especially dark chocolate, which is my favourite, in the evening, I actually can't go to sleep. Like, I know that about myself.
Yeah.
I know, it's crazy. Same. But that's the caffeine in it, I think, for me. Like, I can't have a coffee after about 10 o'clock in the morning or I can't sleep that night.
I've managed to push it out till 4.
I know, I'm crazy. If I had a coffee at 4, I wouldn't sleep until the next day. But that's kind of what sugar does to our children, right? Like, it's no caffeine kind of goes without saying. I hope you're not giving your toddler like an espresso at 6 o'clock in the evening.
Chocolate.
But no sugar.
Chocolate is a hidden one.
And Coke, fizzy drinks.
Any fizzy drink.
No fizzy drink. No, I mean, give your child what you want to give your child. We're not telling you what you can and can't give your child. But if your child's not settling at bedtime and they're having sugar or fizzy drink or chocolate or something in the evening, 100% that is why.
Yeah.
So if you have to give your child dessert, a banana is a great choice. Bananas are loaded with stuff that's actually going to help your child sleep. Yogurt is a really good choice.
Just any
toast.
Toast. But then also don't fall into the trap of allowing, because they will go to bed and then go, oh, I want my banana or whatever, you know. So
yeah, where's my dessert?
Yeah. So
my kids don't have dessert. I'm so mad.
Mine just have fruit, just like or so, very occasionally chocolate, but not chocolate anymore.
Well, yeah.
So if your toddler is waking up and getting out of bed, what do we do?
Well, or even if they haven't been asleep yet, and they're getting out of bed. So this is something that every toddler will do, like
at some point,
guaranteed to happen. All of our kids have done it. It's just as what they do, and even as children when they're older as well, they you put them in bed. Sometimes they're there for 10 minutes. You're like, yes, and then they just appear, and it's always right when you've just put your show on Netflix and poured a glass of wine, and they're just there. And they maybe do it 1,000 times. And they maybe ask you stuff like, why don't ducks have arms? Which is a genuine question. Or they might ask you things like, what's 20 plus 20? Which is the question I got as my 7-year-old was falling asleep the other night. I was like, how do you need to know this when you're falling asleep? If your little one is doing that and getting up, the first thing we would suggest is doing what we call silent returns, which is where you don't talk to them. Because at this age, any interaction to them is a positive interaction. Even if you growled at them, they're still getting a response. So they're still winning.
Yeah.
So you simply take them in silence back to their room, put them in their bed. You might, once they're in their bed, say what we would call a sleepy phrase. So you might say, it's bedtime, darling, or it's sleep time, or something like that, and walk out again. The first night that you do this, you might have to do it 1,000 times. I'm not even kidding. Don't count the amount of times that you have to do this, because they'll just come straight back out. This is the battle of wills, right? They're trying to wear you down, mm-hmm. so that you'll give in. You'll stay in there with them. You'll read them another story, whatever they're delaying. So you just silently walk them back again and again and again. And eventually they're not winning because they're not getting anything out of this exchange. And so in theory, they will give up, if you like.
And by then they've got tired as well.
Real tired. So this can also work at nighttime. If your little one is getting up in the night, but for no kind of reason, like you can't pinpoint it, to do with their naps or night toilet training or anything like that, you can just silent return them back to their bed in the night as well.
Yeah, because this is where...
Don't just do it for one night and then go, oh, it didn't work. You know, your toddler potentially has pretty ingrained sleep habits. So it's going to take a while to break the sleep habits that you're trying to break.
And this is where we fall into the trap of allowing our toddler to just come into our bed and you only have to do that for 3 nights and then the toddler... for 3 nights and then the toddler will turn into a habit. Or, you know, if they wake up and ask for a glass of milk, again, 3 nights and then that's the habit. So anything that will really cause a habit is anything especially for night wakes, is when you're talking to them, when you're feeding them, or when you are turning on a light. So if you do all three of those things, if you talk, feed and give them... and turn on the light.
Turn the lights on.
Turn the lights on. Then your, you know, trifecta of definitely going to probably cause a habit wake. So making sure that, especially at nighttime, those returns are done in silence. If it's a once off, obviously you want to check out what's happening. So maybe they are getting sick, or maybe they're sore, or
they had a bad dream.
They've got a bad dream, or something like that. So obviously if it's a once off, just do whatever you can. But if it's, you know, day 3, day 5, day 8 of the same thing, do those silent returns and that will help break the habit wake.
The alternative to silent returns, and this is actually something that I have done with my children, I've even done it, and I still occasionally do it with my 10-year-old.
Yeah, this one I do more at...
is the check-in.
This is when I do it more when they're going to sleep.
going to bed. You're going to bed. Right. So we sort of refer it as the check-in method. And this is for those toddlers or children who are saying, who want you to stay in the room with them or who keep calling you back in. The idea is they stay in their bed and you say to them, and it's pretty simple, you say, going to come back in 5 minutes and check on you.
I just need to go to the toilet and I'll come back in 5 minutes.
And you come back and check on them. And then I'm just going to come back in another 5 minutes and check on you. I'm just going to quickly go check on your sister, or I'm going to go feed the dog or something like that. And the idea is they stay in their bed and they're waiting for you to come back. You have to come back every time because they need to trust that you'll do what you said. But they have no concept of time. So don't stay out for 5 minutes. As it goes on, stay out for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And eventually they'll fall asleep. And then it's really important that you say to them in the morning, oh, I came back to check on you and you'd fallen asleep. That's so well done. I knew you would go to sleep or something, you know. But tell them that you came back to check on them. So my son at 10, still, every now and then, like, and I think it's if he's tired or if he's maybe stayed somewhere away for a little while and I don't know, he's feeling a bit needy, he we'll put him to bed and he'll go, Mum, can you come and check on me in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And I still say, of course. And sometimes, most of the time, I just forget, to be honest. And then he doesn't say anything because he's gone to sleep by then. Sometimes I'll go up and he's still lying there awake and I'll say, just checking on you. And he's like, okay. But
I think that
the check-in is quite a good one because it keeps them in their room.
And they find it comforting that you're coming back, but then also they'll go to
sleep. But you're the one in control of the situation here, which is ultimately what we want.
Yeah, for sure. So what's another way that we've...
Well, so, I mean, if you're talking about... I mean, then you can have a bedtime battle about kids wanting things at bedtime, right? Like, oh, but I forgot my favorite teddy, which is probably a toy that they've literally never played with before.
Oh god.
Or I just need to kiss dad one more time.
Or my 15 toys aren't in the right order next to me.
Yeah, that's right. So that's delay tactics, which we've talked about quite a lot. And a really easy way to overcome that is with your child, create a checklist of things they need before bed and get them to help you make it, get them to suggest the things that go on it, write it down, put stickers on it. And it's things like go to the toilet, brush your teeth, have a story, get your drink bottle, line up your toys or your teddies, kiss dad or kiss mum or whatever, sing a song, and then sleep is the last part of it. And so, like, hop into bed even. And so they can tick it off as they go through. It's a really good way of sticking to the list so they can't go, oh, I need to do da 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 da, because you can say, well, it's not on the list, so we'll go and find that tomorrow, or we'll look at that tomorrow, or we can think about adding that to the list tomorrow, but for tonight we're doing this is the list. And toddlers are pretty good, it's like having a sticker chart, they're pretty good at something visual like that, having something that they can see and they can go, yep, this is the order that we're doing things, and they get to tick it off, so they get some autonomy over it. That works well with older toddlers, even with sort of 4 and 5 year olds, that kind of stuff can be really effective. All right, so that is a lot of stuff we have talked about.
So we've talked about naps, why they're so important for toddlers, when they should be still having them, and how a little bit about transitioning with naps. We've talked about their night sleep, how they're able to sleep really well, what might be causing night sleeps and some things.
Night sleeps.
And those all like wearing down battles that you will have with toddlers of the bedtime battles. And a few strategies to help you with those bedtime battles and also the night wakes. And we really hope that helped. And if you wanted to listen to any of our other podcasts, make sure that you click back and listen to our other podcasts on nap transitions and all things to do with toddler sleep and baby sleep. And make sure that you visit us at our website, www.littleones.co, or if you want to look at our sleep program, we are on all of the app stores. And we also have some fantastic white noise on all of the streaming platforms, which Nikki and I still use as adults.
Yep.
So we hope that helped, and look forward to chatting with you next week.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later. This is Little Ones, the Sleep Manual Podcast.